I invite you to take a Bible, if you have one, and to open it to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, as we talk about hope in dark places today. 1 Kings is in the Old Testament. If you find right at the beginning, the book of Genesis, make your way back. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then three smaller books, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and then you'll come to 1 and 2 Samuel, and right after 2 Samuel is 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 19, we'll be looking at the story of Elijah this morning as he dealt with a dark time in his life that we might find hope for the dark places that we find ourselves in these days. You know, every day we are inundated with news about coronavirus and its effects that it's having on our nation and our world. We hear every day of the rising number of cases and, sadly, the rising number of deaths that coronavirus has caused. We hear about the strain on doctors and nurses and our healthcare system in general. We hear about the shortages of personal protective equipment and of masks and ventilators and those needs for the sickest and for those who are caring for those who are in such difficult physical places. We hear about the strain of our economy. We hear about the job layoffs and losses, and you may be listening today as one of those specifically affected by a job layoff or loss. We hear about the question of when to reopen the economy and all of the debate that goes around that to do it in a safe and effective way that will be good for both the restart of our nation, but also our workers as well. And then you have social distancing and isolation that we continue to live with every single day. One aspect often, though, that is not talked about, but it is a very real reality, is the issue of mental health and specifically depression in these days. I read recently of one young husband and father who, after job loss and the pressure of providing for his family and paying for the mortgage, came to such a dark place that he took his own life. Such a sad and such a tragic news story to be able to hear of in a world that is already dealing with sad and tragic news stories every day. Many medical professionals and experts are saying that one of the things that we will be dealing with more and more is the issue of mental health and specifically depression. We cannot live in the ways that we are living these days without all facing it in some way, shape, or form. And so this morning I want to talk about this very delicate, this very sensitive issue of mental health and depression. I am by no means an expert on this, and I come to you not offering any simple, quick fix answers. I would love for there to be four steps to coming out of mental health challenges or depression, but there just isn't. It is a complex, it is a complicated issue. It is one that requires much grace and much love from both God and from each other to walk through together. But this morning, I want to try to do our best to tackle this issue, to talk about it in a way that, Lord willing, will give hope to those who are struggling specifically in the areas of mental health, who may be dealing with levels of depression, to do it in a way also that will give all of us some tools and some thoughts to be able to process on how to walk through these days to deal with our own mental health and to deal with the dark days that we are living in. And it may just give, for some of us who do not deal with mental health difficulties or depression in general, some grace and compassion and some understanding for where others who may be more susceptible to it are coming from. This morning, my prayer and my hope is that the Lord would meet you and that he would provide hope for you in the dark places that we find these days. And that if you're in a miry pit, that he would begin to give you hope and light to be able to see a way out and to know that he is a God who is with you at the heights of the mountains, but also in the low and the dark places. So as we would look into 1 Kings chapter 19, we want to look at the story of Elijah, a man who was a godly, powerful prophet of the Lord, yet a man susceptible to depression, a man susceptible to dealing with what many of us are dealing with these days, the dark places of life. And so may the Lord give us hope as we look at this story this morning. As we would do this, I want to begin with the encouragement first to give yourself some grace. Give yourself some grace. If you are dealing with any sort of darkness, of depression in any way, shape, or form, may you give yourself some grace. To do that, I want to begin by just encouraging us to recognize one of those causes of depression, and that is unmet expectations. We see it in Elijah's life, and so may it be an encouragement for us today to give us some grace as we reflect on and recognize some of the unmet expectations that we're living with. In 1 Corinthians chapter, or in 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning in verse 1, it says this: "Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword." Now, obviously, there's a lot in that statement of pre-knowledge that needs to be had. And so let me give you a very quick summary of what has gone on coming into 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah is a prophet of God, and he was sent on a mission to turn the hearts of Israel back to God. King Ahab was the king of Israel at the time, and he had married a Gentile pagan woman by the name of Jezebel, who became queen in Israel. Now, Ahab, we are told, did much wickedness, did much evil in the eyes of the Lord. And his greatest evil that he did was it was his intention, along with Jezebel, to turn the worship of Israel from God to Baal and Asherah, two pagan gods surrounding Israel in those days. And so Elijah was sent as a prophet of God to speak against this evil act. And one of his actions that the Lord called him to do was to pray in the land that there would be no rain for 3 years. And so he prayed, and drought came to the land for 3 years, which was a specific affront to the god Baal, who was the god of weather. Not very good if you're the god of weather for there to be drought in your land for 3 years. As we come to the end of those 3 years, a servant of King Ahab, a man named Obadiah, who was a godly man, came and found Elijah. Elijah actually came and found him. Elijah had been in hiding for those 3 years, as Ahab had been sending men all throughout the land to be able to search for Elijah, to have him pray to lift this curse on the land of drought for 3 years. And Obadiah is encountered by Elijah, and Elijah said, "Go get Ahab." And so Obadiah was a little bit concerned about this, because Elijah had been taken all over the place, eluding capture in those 3 years. But he did. He went back and he got Ahab. And Elijah had a face-to-face conversation with King Ahab in 1 Kings chapter 18. And in that chapter, it's one of the greatest stories, in my opinion, in Scripture of the power of God being displayed. As Elijah challenged the god, false god Baal, and Ahab and the 450 prophets of Baal to a challenge to see, for all of Israel to be able to acknowledge who was the true God. Was it the God of the Bible, Yahweh, or was it the pagan god Baal? And so Elijah constructed a challenge. He had them bring two bulls, and the goal was to see whose God would answer by sending fire from heaven to consume a sacrificed bull. And so Elijah told the prophets of Baal, "You go first." And in the morning, the prophets of Baal, all 450 of them, constructed an altar. They cut the bull into pieces, put it on the altar, and began to cry out to Baal, "Baal, hear us, send fire from heaven and show that you are the true God." All morning they did this until noon. At noon, Elijah began to mock them, calling out, "Where's Baal? Is he busy? Maybe he's deaf. Maybe you need to wake him up. Maybe he's asleep. Obviously, he's not answering." As the afternoon went on, the prophets of Baal went even further in their crying out to him and began to cut themselves so that blood flowed, as was their custom, the scriptures tell us. And all afternoon, calling out to Baal, "Come, send fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice." And yet Baal, The false god did not answer. As it came to about evening, probably around 6 o'clock, Elijah began to rebuild the altar of God that had been destroyed. He took 12 stones to represent the 12 tribes of Israel. He got wood. He sacrificed the bull and cut it into pieces and put it on the altar. Then he instructed that 12 jarfuls of water be brought and poured over the sacrifice. In addition to the altar that he had built, he had also dug a trench around it. And that precious commodity of water, being that there had not been rain for 3 years, was poured, all 12 jarfuls, over the sacrifice, drenching the bowl, drenching the wood, and all of the excess water filling the trench around the altar. Then Elijah prayed. He called out to Yahweh, the God of the Bible, and he said, "Hear my cries so that your people, Israel, would know that you are the one true God." And in response to his faith-filled prayer, God sent fire from heaven that not only consumed the bull sacrifice, but consumed that wet wood, consumed the altar stones that had been built up to sacrifice that bull on, and even consumed, licked up all of the water in the trench around the altar. The people of Israel who were watching this and had assembled there on that place of Mount Carmel came and declared, the Lord is God. Elijah, the prophet of God, then instructed that the 450 prophets of Baal be captured and be put to death. Once they were put to death, Elijah began to pray. 7 times he prayed, asking his servant all 7 times to go and to look. Is there a cloud forming on the horizon? 6 times after prayer, the servant came back and said, "There's no cloud." On the 7th time, and Elijah prayed, servant came back and said, "There is a cloud forming on the horizon the size of a man's fist." And Elijah, with Ahab still present, said, "Get your chariot ready and get going so that you may beat the rain." And Elijah himself, filled with the power of God, by the Spirit of God, ran ahead of Ahab out of his presence. And rain that had not come for 3 years in the land came heavy, so that the land was saturated with water once again. What a powerful, powerful story of the greatness of our God. The wonder of who he is, that he is Yahweh, the one true God. Now you can imagine, though, that after this showdown, that Elijah would have been expecting that things would have changed a lot. That the expectations would have been, as Dr. Tony Evans proposed in one of his comment, in his commentary, that Elijah might have thought that at that moment all Israel would see that the Lord is in fact God, and they would overthrow King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, that they would say, "The Lord is God and we want to serve him." That didn't happen. Dr. Evans proposed that maybe Elijah thought that King Ahab would have come to his senses, and what he grew up with in the worship of God in Israel would have been restored to him, and he would have cast Jezebel out of the palace, and he would have brought reform to the nation of Israel and repentance to the nation of Israel and brought them back to worship of the one true God. But he didn't. Instead, verse 2 of 1 Kings 19. So Jezebel, after having heard all that had happened from Ahab, Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods, Baal, Asherah, deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them," speaking of the prophets of Baal. In other words, Jezebel is saying, "May the gods deal with me ever so severely if by tomorrow you are not like those prophets, dead." Unmet expectations. Instead of radical transformation in the land of Israel, instead of God showing his power in this way, having transformed the people, instead, Elijah has now received a death threat. Certainly not the expectation that you would think. And you can understand why Elijah would be in a dark place. We are living in days where maybe you have had expectations of where we would be right now. Originally, it was just 2 weeks. Then, hopefully, things are going to be restored back to normal by Easter. Now, it's April 30th. Some states are beginning to say these stay-at-home guidelines may be extended to May 15th. By the time you're watching this, maybe Pennsylvania will be in that place, as New York is. Unmet expectations. Life is not normal the way we were hoping it would be. And the longer this goes, the more realistic it begins to be seen that it's probably not going to be normal anytime soon. These unmet expectations of life getting back to normal can put us in places of circumstance that cause us to be in dark places, that can cause depression in all of us in some way, shape, or form. So what do we do? Verses 3 through 5, we see what Elijah did. It says, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. And then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. What did Elijah do? He ran. He ran away. He sat under a broom tree, and you can just imagine it, just sitting back, throwing his hands up and saying, Lord, I've had enough. I've done everything that you've said. Your power was displayed. If that's not going to turn the hearts of the people, if that's not going to fix the situation, then it's hopeless. I might as well just die. Lord, just take my life. Elijah was in a dark place. And if Elijah, a man of God who prayed and stopped the rain for 3 years, and when he prayed, came back, Elijah, the one who made the oil in the widow's house, continued to stay and not run out. If Elijah, the one who brought that widow's son back to life after he passed away, if Elijah, the man of God, a man of great faith, a man who we is held up in Judaism and Christianity alike, if Elijah can get to a dark place like that, then there is no one who is immune. We all can get to those dark places. And so this morning, I believe the Lord wants us to be able to give ourselves some grace and to do that by giving ourselves some permission. Sadly, for many Christians, permission is not given to be honest, to be vulnerable, to be transparent, to be in places where we admit that we are in dark places. Some Christians will even say if you're in a dark place, that you don't have enough faith, that your faith is not strong, that it's something that you are doing that is wrong. Friends, I want to encourage you today to have the permission to not be okay for a moment. I want to encourage you to give yourself grace and permission to do three things. First, to give yourself the grace and permission to be transparent, to take off the mask that says, I've got it all together. To second, give yourself permission to be vulnerable, to admit that you are human and that there is weakness and that you're struggling and that there are some days where it's just difficult. And third, to give yourself permission to be honest. To be honest about the struggle, because only when you are honest will you begin to be able to walk through it and to be able to come to a place of greater health. Friends, give yourself some permission. Now, some of you may be hearing something that I'm not saying. I'm not giving permission or license to just be a victim. I'm not giving permission to excuse sin. I'm not being giving permission or saying just to stay the way that you are. I'm giving you permission. I believe the Lord is giving us permission just to be human. Elijah was human. Elijah had brokenness and frailty and weakness like we all do. And so let us be honest in these moments, in these days, and be human for a few moments. To not try to be super spiritual, but to acknowledge where we're at. To be vulnerable, transparent, and honest. May the Lord strengthen us and give us hope so that we don't just stay where we're at, but that we're able to give ourselves some grace so we're able to move forward. About a year ago, we finally got back into the basement of our church. That was because about 9 months earlier than that, we had some flooding events here at the church, two of them, that rendered the entire basement unusable for about a 9-month period and for the youth room for about a year. And during those times, especially as the job got longer and harder, difficulties faced, and the challenge grew more and more, I began to find myself in some places where I was extremely overwhelmed. I felt a lot of hopelessness. I felt a lot of despair. There were moments, and there were many days, that I sometimes didn't even want to get out of bed in the morning because I didn't know what to do or how to do it. We'd run into obstacles of this worker, this contractor was not able to come or do this job. Just when you thought you're about ready to move on, there'd be a new challenge that would arise. It was completely out of my skill set. I had no idea what I was doing and having to learn a lot of new things on the fly. And it brought me to some very difficult places. Not everyone would have known that I was in some of those difficult places because I had learned along the way that you pull up your bootstraps and do what you can. You work hard, you figure it out. And even if things are challenging, well, you don't let many people know that they're that challenging. It wasn't until the Lord taught me this lesson that I need to give myself some grace, that I needed to recognize that I'm human just like anyone else, that even the most spirit-filled, empowered Christian, like Elijah was, can still struggle. And so today, if you're in a place where you are struggling, but you haven't really come to admit those things, give yourself some grace. Welcome some people into your life who will be able to encourage you and strengthen you, and most importantly, bring yourself to a place where the Lord can minister to you, which is where we want to finish these last moments today. To receive, secondly, after we give ourselves some grace, to secondly, receive holistic ministry from the Lord. Receive holistic ministry from the Lord, verses 5 through 18. We as human beings are kind of like this electrical wire. We're three parts: body, soul, and spirit. Now, I don't know a lot about electricity, but one of the things that I've learned is that this black wire is the live wire, this white wire is the neutral wire, and this copper wire is the ground wire. I believe all of those kind of have some lessons in comparison to our own physical makeup, our own makeup. This white, or this black wire, is like the spirit, our spirit in us. It's the live wire. This grounding one is also called the earth wire, the earth ground sometimes, and that's our physical body can be. This white is that neutral where the current flows back through. That can be our soul. All three of these, if one of them is not functioning correctly, you're going to have some electrical problems. You may even have a burnout. You may even have a fire. All three of them, if not functioning correctly, are going to cause problems. And it's that same lesson, that same illustration for our own lives. That if one of these areas, or two of them, or all of them are not in a good, healthy place, then we are going to find ourselves in places of darkness. We're going to find ourselves in places of depression or challenge. And so I wanted to share for a few moments what it might look like to receive ministry to these three areas. The first, receive ministry to our body. In verses 5 through 8, this is what it says. All at once, an angel touched him after Elijah had laid down and fell asleep and said, "Get up and eat." He, Elijah, looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, or Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. Elijah needed to be strengthened physically. So the angel gave him bread, gave him water, and encouraged him to sleep. We see here the importance of physical health and self-care. The need to eat right, the need to get sleep, the need to exercise. If our physical body, that earth ground wire, is not well, then it can contribute to poor mental health. Friends, please, if you are struggling in these days to get good nutrition, please let us know. Do not go without good nutrition. There are means that we have been entrusted with to help and to take care of those in need. And so if you are not getting the physical nutrition that you need, if groceries are something that you are not easily able to get to, please let us know. We want to be able to help all who have been entrusted to our care. We also encourage you, there's the Soups On ministry at the church on Facebook. It was an advertisement on Friday. There are individuals who have made soup to share, and if that is something that would bring encouragement and strength to your physical body, please let us know, and we would love to be able to get you some soup. Take care of this physical body that you've been given. I do want to mention as one note, is physically some people are more prone to depression than others. And that may be because of genetics or just chemical imbalances in our bodies. And if that is you, please understand that it's okay. This is part of living in a broken world. Our bodies don't always work correctly. And if that is you, the Lord is our healer. And so maybe you have before, but continue to ask the Lord for healing. Reach out to elders of the church or others who would be able to pray with you that Jesus might bring healing to your body in that way if he so chooses. But the Lord may also direct you to bring healing by medication through the help of doctors in our world. Please take advantage of these things for these physical bodies to receive ministry from the Lord, to receive the help that we need. The second area, that neutral wire, that white wire, the return path, is receive ministry to your soul. In verses 9 through 10, it says this. Then he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me. Stop there. The soul is the part of our body that makes up our thinking, that makes up our passions, that makes up our personality. It is who we are. And it's the part of us that often takes the hardest hits in this broken world that we live in. There in verses 9 through 10, Elijah's soul was beat up. It was beat up because of the unmet expectations that he had. It was beat up because of these very difficult realities that he was living in. And it was beat up because he was believing some lies. He was believing some lies that had caused him to shift from God's perspective onto an unhealthy perspective. And he needed truth from the Lord to be able to confront it. Friends, when our mental health is struggling or suffering, the soul is often the place that needs the most help. We'll come back to the soul in just a minute. Because we need to look at the third wire, that black wire, the live wire, to receive ministry to our spirits. Receive ministry to our spirit. Verses 11 through 13. The Lord said, notice he doesn't answer in any way Elijah's question, Elijah's complaint. He just says in verse 11, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face, went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? See, the spirit is the part of us that is born spiritually dead, but is born again when we are saved. It is the place where we have encounters with God that fuel us, that empower us. And Elijah had an encounter with the presence of God in all of his power. And the wind and the earthquake and the fire. But it wasn't that the presence of the Lord was in any of those, even though he displayed his power in all of those. The presence of the Lord, the supernatural encounter that Elijah needed to reset his focus, to refresh and to strengthen him, it was in the gentle whisper. Friends, sometimes we need a spiritual encounter with God by the Holy Spirit. That's sort of like those paddles that emergency room doctors use that jolt us back into reality. An encounter that refreshes us spiritually, that renews us inwardly, and that fills us with fresh hope, with joy, with strength, and with the satisfying love of God. This week in the discipleship group on Tuesday morning on a Zoom call, Don Barnhart shared about how the Lord has been meeting him. Even though he's been living alone in a lot of ways, and even though he has been walking through the same kinds of challenges that we have, of how through Christian movies, through times of prayer, through times in the Word of God, that the presence of the Lord has been sustaining him, that the presence of the Lord has been strengthening him, that the presence of the Lord has been making all the difference. Friends, the presence of the Lord is the live wire. He is the one who comes and who meets us in that place, who brings life and restores us and brings encouragement and renewal and freshness and joy in the love of the Father. And this is why times with the Lord are so necessary. It's not just a religious practice that we encourage everyone to do, but times of reading the Word of God, times of prayer, times of not just giving him our list, but of pouring out our hearts to him, of sitting in stillness and silence and then listening to the voice of the Lord, the whisper of the Lord, like Elijah experienced from the Lord. This is why it's so important, because it's the live wire. And friends, many times it's not a quick fix to our spiritual lives, but it is so necessary. If our spiritual life does not have that live electricity of the Spirit of God flowing through us, our faith and our physical body and our soul are going to be hindered greatly. So may I encourage you, especially in these days of quiet, in these days of isolation, that you make the time to be able to sit before the Lord, to hear his whisper, and to be encouraged and refreshed by him. Back to the soul. This is where we finish. Verses 14 through 18. He replied, "I've been very zealous